But this talk is going to be about some more general health prevention and health-seeking behaviors. So the title is, What the Heck Is He Doing Here? Impact of Race, Class, and Gender on Black Men's Healthcare-Seeking Behaviors. And I am listed, and my co-authors are listed on the cover. I have nothing to disclose. And so I'm going to begin by talking about racial inequities and colorectal cancer burden. It's the third most common cancer and the third leading cause of cancer death in this country. And unfortunately, as we talked about with stroke and heart disease, Black men experience a disproportionate burden of colorectal cancer compared to white men. They have the highest incidence and mortality rates in the country, as well as the highest incidence and mortality rates in South Carolina. And so, unfortunately, despite the increased risk of colorectal cancer in Black men, they're less likely to complete screening. The thing about colorectal cancer, it's a highly preventable cancer. Through certain screening modalities, there's the potential to detect early lesions and potentially prevent that cancer before it starts. And so early detection and early screening is a very important strategy that we try to pursue and implement when talking about colorectal cancer. And so some of the statistics about colorectal cancer screening, we have nationally about 58% of white adults complete screening, while 57% of Black adults complete screening. In South Carolina, you see vast disparities with 70% of white adults versus 61% of Black adults ever having a colonoscopy, which is one of the modalities of screening. 70% of women versus 66% of men have ever had a colonoscopy. Unfortunately, I was not able to find a breakdown for Black men specifically, and I'll actually speak to some of the challenges around that. But Black men face multiple barriers in completing colorectal cancer screening, specifically economic barriers, cultural barriers, and social barriers. But we need to examine some of these barriers, particularly so that we can understand what men face, what challenges they face when they try to access healthcare, so that we can develop interventions that are culturally appropriate and will facilitate their ability to access healthcare, particularly preventative services. And so in that token, I want to talk about a concept called intersectionality. Intersectionality is an important concept that we can use to examine Black men's healthcare experiences, as well as experiences of other marginalized and oppressed groups. So intersectionality was originated by Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw, a critical race scholar. So this comes out of legal studies, critical race theory. And it's the concept that multiple levels of disadvantage or social oppression combine to produce different life experiences and different outcomes for different groups. And this concept has made its way into public health, and it started to become a tool of how we look at health inequities, and particularly trying to understand what if some of the causal factors are for health inequities and how these inequities will manifest for different groups according to race, gender, social class. You could even include disability, nation of origin, all these different things. So it's the whole point of intersectionality is to look at a group on its own and not just say all Black men, all Black people do this, but Black men have these different issues, Black women have these different issues, Latina women have these different issues, so on and so forth, right? So this concept has recently been applied to understanding Black men's desire to seek and access healthcare services. And so the purpose of this study that I'm going to discuss is to examine Black men's self-reported health encounters and to describe the impact of these encounters on Black men's health-seeking behaviors. And so to give you some background, this data is actually collected as part of a larger ethnographic case study that was done to evaluate a colorectal cancer screening program in South Carolina. Individuals who were participants in the program, so they had to be Black, over the age of age 45, and they were participants during the September 2013 to September 2014. If they met those criteria, they were eligible to participate. And what happened was there was a series of three semi-structured interviews that were conducted. The first interview focused generally on men's experiences with healthcare as an adult, so not located to that particular clinic that they were being seen at. The second and third interviews focused more specifically on colorectal cancer screening, so their experience in that particular screening program, as well as their knowledge of colorectal cancer screening, and some of their kind of social norms around it. However, people talked about, men talked about their experiences with healthcare throughout the three interviews, so data was used from all three of the interviews for this presentation. Participants were selected according to a maximum variation strategy, so they were purposely sampled so that we would get people who fit certain criteria. So we had an equal balance of men, women, people who completed the program, who didn't, people who are active in the program at that moment or who had completed within the past year, etc. And the interviews were conducted between September 2014 to December 2014. And they were professionally transcribed and then managed in vivo 10. Coding was developed using affective coding methods, specifically emotion-based coding and versus coding, and used to develop a code book, which was then applied to the rest of the transcripts. So here's just a little bit of demographic information for that sample. Overall, there were 14 interviews completed with 5 participants. The mean age was 55. 60% had high school education or greater. 80% were originally from the Southeast. Like the presenter before mentioned that there are cultural differences, and so I wanted to just get an idea of who was all from the South, whether people were from the North or the West, as that may impact their views of healthcare, et cetera. So most were from the Southeast, one was from Northeast. 40%, at the time of interviews, 40% were unemployed, 40% were disabled, and 20% were employed. And most of the men had periods where they were uninsured and insured. So, and that's just interesting to note because at that particular point in time, they had received services at a free medical clinic, but they had previously been employed and had health insurance versus not. So they were able to talk to me about both sides of the coin. And that kind of feeds into some of the major themes. And so going on to the major themes, men talked about both positive and negative healthcare experiences. And I'm going to be reading some select quotes to you so that you can get an idea of what men said to me about these topics. So good healthcare. So the gentleman said, if he's listened to what I've said and he's made a proper diagnosis and he's made adjustments on any side effects or anything like that over time, I guess that's the key. Good healthcare cannot be evaluated in a day. It has to be done over time, and say a month maybe. I don't go to a guy that says, come back and see me in 3 weeks. You go back and he says, oh, that's not really working for you, or that's having an adverse effect. This might work a little better. That's this kind of thing. Just having that communication and having that person that at least acts like they care is paramount. Now, there was this one participant who was just adamant that he had never had a good healthcare experience. He was just like, no, never. At least on that first interview, and came back on that second interview, and he's like, well, yeah, I did have one good experience. And so this is that bit of transcript. Okay, so what was good about them? The people, they were nice, and they took their time. They talked to you and explained everything. They were pretty nice people. They did pretty good. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good experience with them. So even though men reported positive experiences, a lot of them had negative experiences, and those seemed to overwhelm those positive experiences and pretty much stick in their brains. One of the main things that men talked about was feeling judged, pretty much talking about that they had poor treatment at the hands of healthcare providers, and they attributed these experiences to racism in healthcare. So this is one exchange. So the person is outside the door and they're talking. How are you doing, Joseph? Everything is well. And then they open the door and it's, so their face changes. When they see you, their face changed. It was nice and friendly and they came in and it's like stone-faced? Yeah, stone-faced. There's this look that people have and I never could figure it out. But there's a look that people have when they feel like you are beneath them. I don't care if they grew up in a trailer park, they can still come in and say that is somebody beneath them, and this is the look that I get sometimes. And when I get that look, I'm very, very, very perceptive of it. Another common theme that came up was men feeling like you can live through it. Healthcare providers dismissed their claims or didn't take them seriously. And so I'll kind of cut to the bottom of this quote. Because you're working, you're living, you're smiling, you can go to work, regardless of what's going on with you. You need to be half dead before they help you. Being as a black man walking around the city of Columbia, South Carolina, other than that, you can try to hit the lotto or something or change it, because it always boils right back down to finance. Another thing that came back was this whole dichotomy of getting free versus, you know, paying for healthcare or having health insurance. And so men also attributed poor treatment due to social class and income. So another quote. So was there anything else? It was just the waiting? Just the waiting. How did people treat you? Do you feel like they treated you well? I feel like they ignored me very well because I'd seen somebody else was sitting out there, and I guess they had good insurance, and they got seen before I got seen. Another aspect of this free versus paid healthcare theme came to feeling like they didn't have a right to complain when they were receiving free healthcare services. And so I'll just read this first quote. No, I would rather make my own decisions about anything with my body. And the only reason why it was like that was because it was a free clinic and I had no other choice. But I was looking for a job and I finally found one. So now I get to have my own doctor and I see him and talk to him and tell him about the things that I need for me as of now. Another thing that came up was around social norms about seeing the doctor. So particularly men talked about feeling like black men don't like doctors or we don't see doctors. And so this first quote, me, I don't like doctors. You know what I'm saying? I'm a black man. We don't like going to the doctors. We don't like nobody doing nothing to us. And that is just the way. I'll skip down to this last quote because, well, I'm a black man. I ain't being racist. We got a lot of other things on our plate besides thinking about our health. We're only concerned with it when it happens. You'd be very surprised if you found out what was going on with your body. You're better off to know. Another thing was that men employed a lot of different responses to this negative treatment. So one of these was, say the right thing to get care. Yeah, that's pretty much the bottom line. Because of Obamacare now, a lot of people have been able to get more help. But while you're getting it, the people look at you like, you don't have any money, so you have to wait. You have to be like this. You can't say this. You can't talk to them about the wrong thing. And if they feel like it, they'll talk down to you or not really pay you any attention because of no money. That's a thing. Another thing was responding later. So one gentleman talked about writing letters to indicate his, you know, discontent with treatment and feeling like that was more productive than potentially causing a scene. Another very interesting one was about managing their appearance. I'll read this quote. I'm not a small dude, but I'm not a really big dude either. But here again, I have to concentrate on that smiling and being a little bit more approachable because that puts everyone else's defenses up too when you do that. I try now to smile, and I find that the air is lightened a little bit. There are some people who just feel like we're not supposed to be in certain places and we're not supposed to do certain things. And if you show up, another response was addressing needs versus getting care. And the way I explain this is that some people just kind of felt, some men were just like, well, look, I just go in when I need something. I need glasses, I need blood pressure medicine, I go in. As opposed to I have enduring issues that I'm trying to take care of and negotiate with my healthcare provider. So you saw a lot of this, well, I just kind of go in and do what I need to do. And so I'll read this one. I haven't been really trying to get healthcare. I just do things I need. Like for instance, I got these glasses through healthcare because I need to see and I'm getting older. I've needed the blood pressure medicine, so I had to get my blood pressure. Those things I needed. But these other things, maybe, see, I had an accident and I hurt my shoulder and I was just trying to let them know about it, you know, if I can get something done. And they were more or less saying, all you need to do is get therapy and get something done to your shoulder. But that didn't work and my shoulder still hurts me. And this is just another quote, you know, expressing the same, addressing needs, getting care. Pretty much this participant hadn't seen a primary care doctor in over 30 years. And some of that I do attribute to his challenges that he experienced. Also, there was a lot of distrust of healthcare encounters, particularly if men felt they weren't being communicated with. So if things were being done to them, they felt like someone was experimenting on them or they wanted to keep them coming back for money, right? So I'll just read this first quote here. There was this one doctor, and I don't recall the name, but she was having me come in every 2 weeks for a diabetes check. And to me, I think I was running under 200. And to me, I thought that was a little overboard, maybe for the insurance money. So this was a quote that just kept coming back up time and time again, you know. All right, move them through to get that money, that kind of thing. That's for $35, that's for $35, that's $35. He's adding it up. Oh, we got a bonus. We wrote a prescription. How about that? You think they do that a lot? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. To get the money or to have you coming back to get the money? Oh, yes. And so this is just another keep you coming back quote. So I'll go over kind of the major findings. In general, Black men describe both negative and positive healthcare encounters, but those negative encounters seem to weigh more heavily on their thoughts about healthcare and their perceptions of the healthcare experience and interactions. These negative encounters were attributed to race, class, and gender-based discrimination. And they also had some relationship to their perceptions of Black men's health, social norms regarding healthcare usage. They employed a variety of compensatory strategies to get services. So either they would just get services, kind of get in, get out, or they, avoid services, or they would change their appearance, make sure not to say anything to kind of, you know, fit what was prescribed for them. And they did talk about positive encounters, and those positive encounters featured high levels and high quality trust with high quality communication with providers. However, the absence of this quality communication led to distrust in providers and in providers' actions. And so in conclusion, the interaction of race and gender and social class represents multiple obstacles to Black men who attempt to access preventative services. And so this particular study presents the stories of Black men who have persisted in access care despite these barriers. Like I said, these were men who had participated in a colorectal cancer screening program. So they did, you know, seek care, but they described a lot of negative circumstances around it. However, we need to kind of take some of these themes with us and try to use them to understand how to reach men who were not so fortunate in persisting in receiving care. And so these are my acknowledgments, funding, various funding sources, and just thank my co-authors and individuals who made this project possible. And my references and my contact information should people have any questions or want to hear more. Thank you.